Hello, ladies. Listen to your show. Now listen to mine. Now your show. Now back to mine. Sadly, your show isn't mine. But if you stop listening to lady-sounding hosts and switch to Totally Cool Tech, my show could be yours. Look down. Now back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the show your show could sound like. What's in your hand? Now back to me. I have it now. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now iPods. Anything is possible when your show sounds like Totally Cool Tech. I'm on a horse.
This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition number 511, Flying Shark, for Sunday, January 23rd, 2011. I am Norbert Davis, your host. Hey, I tell you what, it's been a pretty good weekend for me here. Finally have the podcast computer up and running full bore. I am running my brand new AMD Phenom 2 X4 965, running at 3400 megahertz top speed. Looks like the thing is averaging about 782. Four cores running, averaging around anywhere from about 10 to maybe 25-30%. Normal, just sitting there doing not a whole lot. Don't do a lot of gaming, so it never really, you know, peaks up there or anything like that. Unless I'm processing the audio or video or doing anything like that, that's when I get to see a lot of this. And I did get my G-Skill 4 gigabytes of RAM in two sticks, so I still have two sticks left. So I'm going to go for a total of 8 gig here. Hopefully sometime by summer I'll be able to get the other 4 gigs. So everything's back up and running where it should be. And we've got an extra 2 cores now. So that ought to be pretty good. And I'm really happy about that because the machine is running really, really nice. Finally getting it dialed in. If you listen to me on the Mike Tech Show, it was episode number 340 that we did last weekend. The previous weekend, which would have been, would have been the 15th. I was on the Mike Tech Show, and we talked about this, what happened over the holidays between January and actually last Christmas and January, all of December, really. Had blue screens of death. Everything went down. Had to basically rebuild a computer from the ground up, and went through a lot of process of figuring out what were the problems and getting them figured out. So anyway, finally got that 4 gigabytes of G-Skill DDR2 1066 RAM, and everything is going great. All right, for today's show, we got some really cool stuff here. One of the first things we have up for you here is the Sea Breacher X. This is an awesome personal submarine, but if you look at the pictures that I have on the blog, you almost want to liken this to either a flying shark or a dolphin. And actually, there's this company, Sea Breacher, that is making this, what they call the ultimate driving machine, which I think they're going to get sued there by BMW, is the fact that they make these personal submersible watercraft that are considered experimental, but they're similar to a Sea-Doo as far as the Coast Guard's concerned, because it's not a true boat. It's more of a watercraft. And this thing will go about 5 feet underwater at anywhere from 15 to 25 miles an hour, depending on the version you get. If you want it to look like a dolphin, that would be the, it's called the Sea Breacher J. And they also have the Sea Breacher X, which actually has a vertical tail fin, more like a shark. And the J is more like a dolphin, which is a horizontal tail fin. And the really cool thing about the X version, which, I mean, and this is why it looks like a shark, is there's a plexiglass window down at where your feet would be in this cockpit, and that is where basically the shark mouth would be. Like I said, go back to the blog, take a look at that, and you will see a picture of a shark and a picture of one of these Sea Breacher X watercraft painted like a shark. You tell me which is scarier. I think they're both scary myself. But this is really cool. It's got a lot of onboard stuff. Now, the watercraft comes with a Rotax 1500cc four-stroke engine, has 260 horsepower of supercharged intercooled motor. I mean, that is just really, really cool. High output, low emission, axial flow jet pump, and it's using vectored thrust, so it'll go up, down, right, left. This is really cool. And it has forward, neutral, and reverse. Closed cooling system, reliable in fresh or salt water. All components can be serviced at your local watercraft dealership. This is really super. Now, some of the really cool features are a redesigned shark-style body. This is for the X version as opposed to the J version. It has a mouth-shaped viewport for enhanced underwater visibility. Has a double snorkel intake for the engine's increased air requirements, high-performance, low-profile wings and elevators, which those are actually the fins on the Shark. Now, powder-coated stainless steel aluminum hardware, custom exhaust outlet. This thing is really, really cool. Now, it has front and rear LCD screens displaying live video from a snorkel-mounted camera. Now, this is really cool because when you go underwater, you start losing a bit of your visibility. Because the water's rushing on it and you get this, you know, angled water and all that. So you can look at the cam, which is still sticking up out of the water, to see where you're going. That is really cool. Now it's got hand-laid composite monocoque structure, which is pretty darn cool because, it, you know, you want to be safe in this thing. Now it has a aircraft-style cockpit, which is really cool. Has half-inch high-impact resistant acrylic canopy, which is, you got to have that. Has inflatable aircraft seals to keep the cockpit and the engine bay watertight. Has three automatic bilge pumps, so it's got triple redundancy. Collapsible nose section in the case of a front impact, which hopefully you don't do that. And it has been Coast Guard inspected, not approved, Coast Guard inspected. Comes with an onboard fire extinguisher and carbon monoxide detector. And I believe it also came with some compressed air, so you can, you know, be playing around underneath a little bit. So this thing goes for like $65,000, and you can modify it and get it upgraded to cost $85,000. And this is made in Northern California. I believe it's out of Redding. And some of the really cool stuff on the high-tech features you can have, besides the snorkel-mounted camera, is you have a GPS navigation and onboard stereo system with an iPod dock. Now, how cool is that, okay? This is the ultimate in cool watercraft. You know, you can have your Sea-Doo. This thing rocks. It seats two people. Totally slick. I love this. If you want to see some video, go ahead and hit their site. You can see some of the video they have for that. A lot of great photos on their site. I love this. This is super, super cool. All right, next up we have the DARPA-inspired Wasp 3. It's like a set of flying binoculars. I was watching National Geographic the other night and just happened to fall onto seeing this. It is their Wasp 3, and they were doing the thing about how the military can have high technology easily out in the field, giving them as much reconnaissance as possible. And this thing is really, really cool. The Wasp is a micro air vehicle. It's a small, portable, reliable, and rugged unmanned aerial platform designed for frontline day or night reconnaissance and surveillance. The Wasp is a result of a multi-year joint development effort between AeroVironment, that's the name of the company that builds this, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. This thing has a wingspan of about 26 inches, weighs about a pound and a half or so, and the Wasp is AV's smallest unmanned aerial surveillance system. The Wasp can be manually operated or pre-programmed for GPS-based autonomous navigation. Now, the really cool thing about this, some of the mission descriptions, it's an organic squad-level reconnaissance and surveillance, advanced reconnaissance, and light infantry military operations on urban terrain. Wow, what does all that mean? It means that one soldier can take this thing in a backpack, go ahead, go anywhere they need to go, break this thing out. They have a remote control with an LCD that hooks, they hook up a little hood to it, like you would see the guys in the NFL, the referees, when they go to take a look at the replay. So they got this little thing so that no light messes them up or anything like that. Use it day or night. Don't give away their activity because all of a sudden, you know, you got this, you know, LCD screen lit up. They have the cameras themselves. They can either have a day camera or a night camera, which are mounted in little pods that go onto the vehicle. And the thing is actually pretty stubby. It's about 12 inches long, 26 inches wide. It's electrically powered, battery operated. And it goes for about 45 minutes, and you can go about 3 miles for line of sight. It goes around 30 miles an hour or so. It has an operating altitude of about 1,000 feet, which is not too bad. And let's see what else they have. It's hand-launched. That's a really nice thing about it. And in the recovery method, they call it a horizontal landing. Well, what it does is it actually hits the ground. You know, the guy just drives it and flies it. Tries to land it, and no little wheels or anything, it just hits the ground. Now, the really cool thing about that, and they showed this on the program on National Geographic, when it hits the ground, it'll come apart. And it's designed to do that. It kind of, you know, takes some of the impact and, you know, it pops apart, and that way it doesn't make a big crash, it doesn't, you know, mess itself up or anything. It's designed to do that. And that's the disassembly point so they can put it all back together in the backpack and take off. Now, the backpack comes with, you know, not only the aircraft itself, and the aircraft carrying case, which looks like almost like a briefcase almost, has the controller. It also has the radio that will operate the transmitter and receiver for the device and the aircraft. This is really cool. And it's a full reproduction, and it was scheduled for, it only took 5 years to go from basically concept to production and out in the field. There wasn't a whole lot of time messing around and you know, developing and overthinking things. They made it nice and simple and easy. And this is a really cool product, really cool technology that our military is using right now. So if you know anybody who's in our armed forces and they say they play with little remote control airplanes, this is what they're talking about. It's great. It lets them, before they go outside their compound, they can launch one of these things and they can check around and make sure that, you know, the enemy's not out there or if things are at least relatively safe looking. So it gives them a little bit of a heads up on what's going out, you know, going on around them, either in the day or the night. I love it. All right, next up, coming to Legoland in California this March, the Lego Millennium Falcon is going to hit. And not only that, there's going to be 2,000 hand-built models in the Star Wars Miniland that's coming out. Oh, this is going to be sweet. They're building everything, not just a Millennium Falcon. They're building the AT-ATs. They're building the, with the Tauntauns and everything. There's tons and tons of Lego Star Wars figures and machines. And, oh, this is going to be great. And I am in California. So what does this mean? It means the next time I get to go, which hopefully in a year, maybe two, I'll be able to go down there and check this out because this is going to be sweet. I don't know what they're taking out to put this in. I'm thinking possibly the Bionicle area because it really wasn't that well developed the last time I was there. They've always had an R2-D2, full-size R2-D2, and a full-sized Darth Vader made out of Legos down there at the Legoland Miniland. But this is awesome. The Millennium Falcon has got to be 5 feet long, and I'd say at least 3.5 feet wide, if not 4 feet. That thing is going to rock. You guys will not believe it. And I tell you what, as soon as we can get photos from the Legoland itself, this is all I've got right now. And I got this off of Gizmodo. Saw that, and I just had to go ahead and tell you about that. All right, next up, what do we have? Well, we have Lego Angry Birds. Now, if you've been playing this nice little app that you can get on the iPhone or even the Android, which I've played this. I've played it all the way through. I've succeeded. And I got it off there because I was wasting a little bit too much time. They've done some really cool work replicating the Angry Birds in Lego. And this is actually through Laughing Squid, but I believe it was the Brick Brothers or the Brothers Brick, one of the two. A great Lego site, if you want to go check that out. These are really cool. If you've played it, you've seen them. It's an addictive game. God, you got to play that. It's really, really fun. And it's Lego, so it's totally cool. All right. I saw this, and this is from Griffin. This is Car Trip. And it's the OBD2 hardware interface that will go ahead, plug into your car's OBD2 plug, and it'll hook up or sync with your iPhone 4 or your iPhone. I guess it doesn't matter right now which one it is, but does it say? Yeah, compatibility with the 4th gen iPod Touch, the 3G and the 3GS iPhone, iPhone 4, and the iPad. So it'll work with those, you know, those devices right there. It's available soon. It's not yet out. It's going to be about $90, and you can be able to get that from Griffin. It's supposed to be available in the second quarter of 2011. But the nice thing is, you know, instead of just watching your dashboard and a check engine light comes on, the Car Trip will make things easier for you to find out what's going on. So if your car was built anytime after 1996, you can plug this into your onboard computer and access a staggering array of diagnostics and performance information. Now, this is going to be really cool for the shade tree mechanics who just love tweaking things on their own, but don't want to have to go down, you know, to a local mechanic, have them put it up on their machine, test it out, give a diagnosis to it and all that, and then go ahead and then do things on their own. Or you don't have to buy one of those little handheld computers like I have. That plugs in and just gives you codes. This will give you a lot more. Griffin's Car Trip onboard diagnostics computer reader is easy, it's fun, and it helps you drive your car more fuel efficiently and save money. And the thing is, you can do your part to be green. Car Trip's wireless monitor plugs into your car's OBD2 port and then records and analyzes the data from your car's onboard computer, then displays it on your compatible smartphone using friendly and free little app called CleanDrive. CleanDrive monitors your car's performance, collecting data like fuel consumption, acceleration, top speed, and engine diagnostics code as you drive. CleanDrive crunches the numbers and displays your carbon score in an easy-to-understand format on your device's screen. Instantaneous trip and long-term averages are recorded to give you a clear picture of how your driving habits impact the environment and efficiency of your car over time. In addition, CleanDrive will display and reset the diagnostics codes sent out by your car's onboard computer so you can know what the computer's check engine light is really saying. Now you're probably asking, now how is it transmitting everything from the reader to your phone? Well, it's doing that by Bluetooth. That's what's really cool. So this is another great product that's using Bluetooth, you know, because you don't have to be that far away. You could be within 30 feet. Everything will work just fine. This will be available, like I said, from Griffin on their website, at least at first. And it was the iLounge Best of Show for CES 2011 and BeatWeek Magazine's Best of Show 2011 as well. This is awesome. I love things like this. I don't have an iPhone 4. We'll talk about that a little bit later at the end of the show. But, you know, this is a pretty cool device. You got to love something like that, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer and a shade tree mechanic. So kind of a double thing there. All right. AT&T and Verizon are battling it out. And we know that Verizon now has the iPhone 4 and will be coming out with probably more iPhones as the years go by. I don't think that AT&T is going to lose the iPhone. They're just not going to be exclusive anymore. I don't think Apple's going to let anybody be exclusive anymore. I think it just really wrecks their ability to dominate the market. You know, they have to let everybody have it. But I digress. Last week, Motorola announced that it was going to acquire the company called 4Home, which is a home automation system company. And Verizon is actually been investing in 4Home, the 4Home business as well. So AT&T goes out and acquires the developer of the home automation platform, Zanbu. It's actually called Zanbu. And this is, I think, in direct response to what Verizon is kind of doing. This is, you know, if we've talked about, well, I've talked about this before. Through AT&T, you can use the remote monitoring system, which has been developed by Zambu. Now they've gone out and just bought them out. And it's actually pretty cool what they do. They have the ability to go ahead and put up little IP cameras and sensors and glass breaking sensors, motion detectors, all sorts of stuff, and hook that to your network, and that would go ahead and monitor your whole house, all that kind of stuff. So you can have the cameras and all that, you can watch what's going on, see if your dog's coming in and out, see if someone's ripping you off, what the nanny's doing, what your kids are doing when you're not home. Really, really cool stuff. And back in 2006, I think everything went for like $199 with like a $10 monthly fee. I don't know what it is right now, but it's pretty pretty good system. It's really not that bad. And that's for the basic package. So what I think you're going to be seeing here in the next couple of years is not only AT&T and Verizon fighting for you as a wireless customer, or in some cases, you know, an internet customer, a regular phone customer, but they're also going to be fighting for you as a home automation customer. They want to be in your house monitoring your stuff, and how soon is it going to be to where they're going to know everything we're doing? Everything. That is a little bit scary to me. I like home automation. I think it's a great thing. I just don't like it controlled by anybody but me. And I think this is where open source comes in. I think people ought to be able to be the caretakers of their own systems. If you want to go ahead and you don't care to go ahead and monitor or manage that stuff yourself and let someone else do it, okay, I can understand that, but gets a little scary, kind of George Orwellian type things there, and I don't know. I'd be afraid to see who's actually watching my stuff at that time, monitoring my security. Anyway, I've already have ADT. Why do I need AT&T? So, okay. Just thought that was interesting. See Verizon and AT&T on a whole new platform that they're fighting for. Okay, now you guys know, and let me grab this here. You can't see it. You hear me grabbing it here. I went out, and last October, I went out and bought the Kodak ZI-8 portable handheld pocket, I guess you can call it, pocket camcorder. Now, mine's high definition, shoots 1080p at 30 frames per second, 720p at 30 and 60 frames per minute. I can shoot WVGA and take 5 megapixel pictures with this. Pretty cool device. It has macro and regular settings. It has the electronic image stabilization. I love this thing. I got it for $70. It was a nice refurb special. And this thing's really cool. It's set up to be able to shoot for YouTube. And I love it. This thing's really, really good. One of the things that I thought that was special about it was the fact that I can use it. It hooks up either USB or I can pop out the SD card. It had HDMI out, which it actually has a little mini HDMI plug. And the one thing that really got me was the fact that it had an external microphone, which I like because I was, supposed to be going to CES 2011, and I was going to be using this and using an external mic and doing what I had to do, record all that. So it's all on the same audio and video. I didn't have to mix things or anything like that. And I just have to adjust some levels and poof, I can set this thing out and send out the video. Well, that was not to be. However, the people that I work with at Tech Podcasts Network, some of them had asked, does anybody know of a portable handheld pocket cam that could also be used as a webcam? I did not know of anything, but I stumbled upon this. It's a Panasonic TA-1 ultra-thin HD pocket camcorder enabled with Skype and iFrame. This is pretty cool. Now, I guess it was on Woot the other day. I missed it. Was going for like $60. Well, people over at Amazon and Woot had gotten together and had that special. But you can get one right now for $90. So instead of the regular $170, you can get it for $90. And that's almost $80 off. Come on, that's just insane. The thing about this, it does shoot 1080p. It will do Skype. And it will work as a webcam. It shoots, I believe, either 5 or 8 megapixel stills. Has intuitive operating, you know, the controls are on the back of the device are pretty good. It has a nice little screen on it. It's YouTube ready. It works with both Mac and PC, so it uses iframe mode, which I'm not really too familiar. So I guess when using iMovie, the iframe video data in the camera is the same format as you'll be using with to edit. So it just makes it a lot easier to work with the Mac. You can connect the TA-1 to a PC and it becomes a web camera. It works with Skype, which is awesome. Let's see, it has the electronic image stabilization as well. It has some creative functions. You can shoot sepia, monochrome, and different little tones and scenes and things like that. The one thing this thing has that mine doesn't is it has a little LED. That is awesome. So when you're in a dark area, you can add a little bit of light to it. Gives you nice crisp images in a dark situation, like indoors during nighttime events. Now, the LED light does not work when operating in a webcam mode, but I'm sure it's going to take away from your battery as well. Oh, let's see. Yeah, but you know, effective. It's a 5 megapixel effective, taking 8 megapixel stills for recording. That's pretty darn cool. Now, I can't afford to get one of these. I wish I could. And I would like to even try getting a demo unit. Probably not going to happen, but if it's anything like my Kodak, if you're in the market for something like that, this is pretty cool. Now, I don't know if it'll actually even hook up to a tripod. I would think that it would. I'll have to dig into that a little bit more. But I know one of my compatriots was asking if there was anything like that out there. Well, yes, there is. So if you're looking for it, it's a Panasonic TA-1 Ultra Thin HD Pocket Camcorder, and you can get that at Amazon.com. I'll have a link for it, and it's my Amazon Associates link. So if you buy one, I get a little cut. Finder's fee type thing. All right. Appreciate it if you guys do that. You know, if you want to buy anything off Amazon, stop by my site, go in through my Amazon thing, and you can give me, you don't pay any more. You pay what you pay. I just get a little bit of a finder's fee from Amazon, which I think is cool. All right. As I lose my voice here, I found over at Fast Mac a nice cool socket. If you have USB devices that you just need to charge, you don't want to plug it in to your computer or anything, because if you plug it in, it's going to go ahead and start doing some sort of download or syncing or something like that. Or maybe if you're like my wife, has a couple friends that, you know, they come over and their iPhones are starting to die, and instead of just going ahead and getting one of the USB chargers, no, they go ahead and they plug it into her laptop. What happens? Well, things start syncing, and you got to hurry up and, you know, tell it not to sync and all that kind of stuff, because she's got an iPod, an iPad, and they start throwing their iPhones on there. Things get all messed up, and then we're all out of whack. Somebody's losing their playlists and all that, and everybody getting mad. No, this is really cool. It's called the U-Socket, and the New York Times called it one of the best tech ideas of 2010. It's in pre-order. It's supposed to be shipping here this January. So supposedly you can order this thing. They're going for $20 to $24, I think it is. And this is really slick. It's a regular receptacle that has USB ports. So if you're used to seeing the two outlet receptacle, just to the left of it, you'll have a USB port that you can go ahead and plug in. And it'll work with, an iPhone. It'll work with a BlackBerry. So it's putting out the right voltage for that. It's 2.4 amps, 5 volts, USB 3 power. So it is 2400 milliamps total. you can charge four devices, you know, two bricks or something like that, and two straight USBs. It's auto-sensing for the wattage, has BTO tamper-resistant option, available in standard and Decora style, so if you have that in that elongated rectangle-looking style, or if you have the two ovalish, roundish plugs. This will work with either of those. And there's actually, you can get the instructions on how to go ahead and wire this in correctly so you can do it yourself. It's not a problem. This thing is really, really cool. I've checked it out. I think this is a perfect device. They should be putting these in at workstations, you know, in offices and out at the airports, things like that. That's what this country needs, more things like this at their airports. So, and the power rating is 12 watts, 108 to 132 volts AC, which is good for U.S. and Canada, but not for Mexico, which their voltages can routinely dip down to 90 volts, so that's not too good. Let's see, it is listing, they have a listing, probably UL listing, that is pending and expected to come in February. So if you want to just wait a little while longer, make sure it's all listed, you can go ahead and wait for that. But you can get that over at fastmac.com, called the U-Socket. This thing is awesome. All right. And kind of to kind of go along with this, if you do a lot of traveling and you still need something like this and you don't want to carry you know, a bunch of USB chargers that have one port on it, which I got several of those, Belkin has a mini surge protector dual USB charger. So it plugs into a single outlet on the wall. It has three regular 110 volt standard plugs and two USB charging plugs, which is awesome. And the thing actually will rotate, so you can kind of get it out of the way or whatever, depending on what's around your outlet that you're plugging into. So this is pretty cool. Only goes for $11. How awesome is that? That is something you have to have if you're going on a trip and, you know, you're going to be plugging in your gear anywhere. When I went on vacation back in October, I had cables and chargers up the yin-yang. And my wife laughed at me because when we got ready to go, I had to set everything out on the table, make sure I had something for every piece, and try to figure out, okay, who's going to be trying to charge what at what time, and make sure I had everything covered. This would have covered a lot of that. That would have got rid of some stuff in my bag. I wish I would have kept that, or I wish I would have seen this, and I would have had that on the trip. So if you're looking for that, it's that also is at Amazon, so I'll have my affiliate link up there for that. And if you want it, go ahead and click on that and give me a little piece of the pie. All right. Next up, I saw this. I was watching Geek Brief TV with Callie Lewis and Geek Beat TV with Callie Lewis. And I saw this from CES 2011. It's an on-off tactile switch paint, and it's by Quarks. And this thing is awesome. You know, normally you go into a room, you got to hit the light switch, right? You know, they got the little toggle ones, the big fat toggle ones, and they got the little slider ones, or you got, you know, the regular, you know, regular toggle ones, the standard one. Well, what if that's always in a bad location? It's behind a bookcase or something, or just not where you want it. These people from Quark came up with something really cool. It's a way to go ahead and turn your wall or any place you want into an on-off switch just by touching the wall. Now, what it is it's an electronics device that wires into your lighting system or your switch, and you paint it on. This is really cool. You paint it on anywhere you want. I mean, you can paint the whole wall. You can paint just a little section of it, a zone, a zigzag pattern, whatever you want. It'll become the switch to turn your lights on and off. Now, you can actually wallpaper over it. Doesn't affect it. You can paint over it, and it won't affect it. That's awesome. I don't have all the details on this because it's really hard to find. Lucky to find anything I found here, because everybody else that I know of has less than this, unless you went there and got as much information as you could. I don't even know how much it's going to cost or when it's going to come out, but this thing's awesome. I'll have a link for you. It's the best place I found to find it was mocoloco.com. It's a design website, and they bring in a lot of designers and things like that, and cool design and stuff like this. So this, I thought, was really sweet. So yeah, if you're like that kind of stuff, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, take a look here. Maybe you can find out a little bit more information. I tried finding as much as I could, and I couldn't get any more than that. So hopefully we'll see this come out, and it won't become vaporware this year. Hopefully we'll see something like this, you know, at your local design center, maybe at Home Depot or Lowe's. That would be just totally awesome, and that'd be great, you know, especially for older folks and kids. You know, for me, for my, and when I was a kid, I knew that, you know, I was a little afraid of the dark. There was always a, for me, my bed was always on the other side of the room, and there was a crocodile that lived underneath there, and I'd have to go ahead, run, hit the switch at the same time, and jump, you know, the last 3 feet in the bed so the crocodile wouldn't get me. When you're a little kid, that's very, very, very important to be able to not be eaten by anything under your bed. What if all you had to do was touch the wall and the light would go on and off? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Or if, you know, you're elderly, you know, don't want to reach out of bed trying to find that table lamp right next to your bed and, you know, twist the darn thing. You're lucky if you have one of the lamps like I have, where all you got to do is touch it and it'll come on. All you got to do is touch the wall. You know, if you're right next to the wall, you get your bed up against the wall, touch the wall, bam, light comes on. That's awesome. Now, you'd wouldn't want it to be the whole wall, I would think, because you roll over, you hit that, turns the light on and off all night. You know, you wake up all the time. But anyway, I thought that was really, really cool. Oh, something else really cool. For kids, speaking of kids, Crayola. They have 3D chalk. That's right, I said 3D chalk. So not only can you get your Blu-ray in 3D, you can get your chalk in 3D. Your street chalk, your sidewalk chalk. That is awesome. They have this special, not special chalk, because it'll work pretty much with any chalk. I think the colors have something to do with it, but they have these special glasses, okay, that when you look at the chalk with them, and they say you kind of want to stand back a little bit to get the better effect, people have said these things really look like they're coming up off the ground. Now, I did a little bit of research, checked into this, and I guess they are what they call chroma glasses or chroma depth glasses. They're 3D glasses that use some sort of little nanotechnology, that micro-optic lens stuff that optically converts images into like holographic images, so it gives it that 3D effect. This is super, super cool, and I guess they're the only company. It's called American Paper Optics that actually can manufacture these glasses, and they sell them through Crayola, and I guess you can get them for like $5 if you need an extra pair. Well, for $12 you can get the Crayola 3D Giant Chalk Set. Comes with two pairs of glasses and, was it, four giant sticks of double color sidewalk chalk. This is awesome. Now, I did a little bit of more research on this, and over at, oh, what is this website? Because it was really cool. Over at Rockstar Mama, they go ahead and they have a whole article on this back in 2009, and they did a test with it, and I guess it worked out pretty good, wasn't too bad. And reading some of the reviews and comments from other people, the adults have more fun with this than the kids. So that's really cool. And for, I mean, a pittance, really, of money, you can have some cool 3D effects going on. The one thing they say to do it on, not on a sidewalk like a gray concrete, you want to do it on a blacktop. And supposedly, it'll also work with like a black paper, maybe construction paper, things like that. But you kind of got to get a little bit away to get the better effect. But I thought that was really, really cool. All right. We're coming up to the end here because you can hear my voice is going. And we all know that on February 10th, it's going to be D-Day for the Verizon iPhone. That's when that thing gets delivered. And you all know that as soon as I got my Android phone, the iPhone would come out on Verizon. And true enough, it happened. Got my Android, you know, the Droid X for Christmas. Poof, Verizon's going to announce they're going to get the iPhone. Of course. Well, no, I'm not going to run out and go ahead and get an iPhone on February 11th or 10th, whatever it is. However, my wife will be getting one. So we will have one in the house. I will be playing with it. We'll be reporting on it. There's, I guess, some slight differences between the AT&T version and the Verizon version. And the one really big difference is that the Ringer mute switch is a little further down on the handset's left-hand side to accommodate the CDMA antenna. So what does that mean for everybody? Well, if one of your friends is going to give you one of their, you know, bumpers or their cases or something like that, it ain't going to work right. Now, you might be able to take an X-Acto knife and, you know, if it's a silicone thing and maybe cut yourself a little spot for that switch. But for the most part, it isn't going to work right off the bat. So don't be looking to get a hand-me-down on that. It might work, it might not, so just be aware of that. And it's obviously not going to have 4G, but it will have a hotspot. And you know what? Apple ain't got that. That's right, Apple doesn't have the hotspot. That's one reason I like the Droid X. I was also looking at the Droid 2, but the Droid X has the Wi-Fi hotspot. My wife's current phone, which is the Palm Pre Plus, has a Wi-Fi hotspot, and that came in so handy when we were on vacation with our iPad, which is, you know, which is Wi-Fi, not 3G. We can turn on the Wi-Fi hotspot, and that thing becomes a wireless 3G enabled device. So, if you can, you know, if you have Verizon and you want a 3G hotspot, you can go out and buy their 3G hotspot. You can buy their LTE hotspot now. You can wait for the iPhone, or you can go out and get the Palm Pre Plus. I think they have a couple other phones and the Droid. So, I will be getting one. I'll be getting the iPhone, finally. Not for me, for the wife, but, you know, anyway, it's going to be cool. And it's starting at $199.99 for the 16-gigabyte new 2-year activation. And, pretty cool. Now, if you're an exclusive, if you are a Verizon customer, I guess they have an exclusive opportunity to get an iPhone 4 from their reserve quantity before they're available for everyone else. So if you are not a Verizon customer, you're not getting first dibs. If you're a Verizon customer, you get first dibs on getting one of these. So maybe you ought to join Verizon now and, you know, buy a really cheap itty-bitty phone and then go ahead and get the new one. You know, it's out of line and you can get it. So buy yourself the cheapest version of whatever rate they have planned and then dump this thing on it later on. So, cool. All right. You know what? That is going to be it. And I need to get back to my notes here. I did have my appearance on the Mike Tech Show, episode number 340. I got a link. You can check that out. We were on Ustream and then he put us on the regular podcast. I might be on the Nozilla cast for audio mail, listener mail, hopefully this week, either today she recorded or she's going to record maybe next week. I don't know. I'll let you know when I find out about that. So let's see. Yeah, that's it. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it was on, you know, in a content delivery box like the Roku, the Boxy, or Google TV. Whether you listen to us through a web service like Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Zune, or other podcatcher, or just the website player, it doesn't matter. I really appreciate you checking us out. If you have any questions or comments, just email me, tctpodcast@gmail.com. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network and the blueberry.com podcast community. That's Blueberry, spelled BLUBRRY. Go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. If you like the show, and I think you do, please recommend us to a friend. All the show notes, the links, and contact info are available at our website, totallycooltech.com. hey, do you know about any really cool tech that you would like to, you know, have on the show that you want me to talk about, or you want to talk about yourself, then please send me an email or maybe even an audio comment about it to tctpodcast@gmail.com, or you can even call the podcast listener line, 540-999-TECH. Look for me on Twitter. Just check out TCT Podcast on Twitter, or check us out on Facebook. We're out there. Just look up facebook.com/TCT Podcast. All right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.